This is a podcast for people who like whispered stories of true crime or mystery. And that is what this podcast is all about. My name is Kit, and I am your host. This is episode number 9. Thank you for listening. Now, if you are a new listener, thank you for joining me. It makes me feel so warm and fuzzy simply to know that every new episode brings new listeners. I hope that you will continue to listen to all of my future episodes. And if you are a returning listener, hello again. All of my gorgeous wild cats and pretty pussy cats. It always makes me happy that you are here with me. And I have some very exciting news to share. You have given this podcast over 5,600 downloads in the very short period of time that this podcast has existed. Less than 5 months. Meow. I wish I could give every one of you a great big warm hug. However, since I obviously can't do that, I will just say thank you. Thank you. All of you. But especially all of my returning listeners. Seriously, thanks. Next, please attention to what I am about to say. I need every listener to understand that sometimes whisper talk can be very hypnotic. And so, if you're behind the wheel of a moving vehicle, please, please do not listen to this podcast. I really do not want you to drift into a trance and end up in some horrible crash. Because then, well, you won't be able to hear my next episode. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. A short warning to everyone in regard to the subject matter of the featured story. I will be telling the story of a murder that was committed by two teenage girls in the year 2003. The victim of the murder was their mother. However, the specific facts will be kept to the absolute minimum needed to accurately tell the story. But even so, if you think that hearing about these things could possibly cause you to have a negative emotional reaction, then this episode might not be something you should listen to. So, you can't say I didn't warn you. Also, I do not recommend this episode for children. However, if any little sponges are listening nearby, caution is strongly advised. Finally, I have one more thing that I am going to mention before I begin the story. I recently received a request from a listener in which he literally begged me to make our featured stories a little bit longer. I have a pretty strong hunch that many other listeners might have the same opinion, that the featured stories should be longer. And guess what? I think that you are absolutely right about that. So, on our future episodes, I intend to have stories that are longer. My target is to make the featured stories to be at least double the length of the ones that we have told on our most recent episodes. Now, on this episode, our featured story is a little less than that goal, because, unfortunately, the available information is limited, mainly because the individuals at the center of the story were juveniles at the time of the crime, and for that reason, many of the details have been shielded from the eyes of the public for the protection of everyone involved, especially the family members of the victim. However, when I started working on this story, I did not know or realize that fact. But by the time I finished, I had invested so many hours in research, writing, and recording that it would have been a complete waste of my very slender resources to scrap the episode, merely because it was not as long as I had originally hoped for it to be. Listeners, I'd rather give you a good story than one that is stuffed with windy filler and empty words, just to make it long. And now, with that having been said, I will begin our featured story. Our story begins in the year 2003, in a suburb of Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, at the home of Linda Anderson, age 43, and her two daughters, Sandra, age 16, and Elizabeth, also known as Beth, who was age 15. Linda raised her children as a single parent because their father had walked out on the family. This soon resulted in Linda becoming an alcoholic and severely depressed. Nevertheless, she managed to hold down two jobs. But unfortunately, a large part of every paycheck ended up being spent on booze, as well as relationships with abusive men who were usually alcoholics like herself. According to police reports, Sandra and Beth had become increasingly irritated with their mother for, quote, wasting money on alcohol, unquote, as well as her drunken boyfriends. And this was money that they needed just to live. Money that was needed to buy food or to pay for electricity or other bills was thrown away on beer, wine, and whiskey. And because of this ugly financial situation, the girls never had the quote-unquote better things that their friends had, like designer clothes, a swimming pool, And slowly but surely, the sisters ultimately came to the conclusion that the only way that they could permanently solve their problems with their mother was to simply kill their mother. And then the two of them could practically live in splendor from the money that they would get from their mother's life insurance policy. So they began to search on the internet for ways to kill their mother. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment to say that these girls were not dummies. In fact, they were quite the opposite. For example, a guidance counselor at their school remarked in an interview that they were the smartest kids he had ever known in 30 years of teaching. In addition, both of these girls were strikingly pretty, and possibly for that reason, they had quickly become part of the elite inner circle of quote unquote the popular kids at school. So, because they were part of that circle, the sisters knew the things that their friends had, and also that they certainly did not have any of those things, or the money to get them. Perhaps at this moment, it might be worth mentioning that C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia stories and the Screwtape Letters, once said that envy is one of the easiest ways for the devil to get you into his clutches. Now, that might be true, but these girls weren't too greedy or selfish. They promised their friends that once they had the insurance money in their hands, that they would take them all on a trip to Europe. And then, after they came back, they would buy a mansion with a greenhouse marijuana farm in the backyard. And those friends would be welcome to come over anytime, day or night. Wow, those were some pretty grandiose plans for only $68,000 in life insurance. However, even so, that tells you a lot about them. These two sisters both had charisma, charm, intelligence, good looks, and bubbly personalities. They seemed to be able to use these traits to talk their friends into practically anything, including looking the other way as Sandra and Beth carried out their plot to murder their mother. Anyway, let's get back to our story. Now, as I said, they began to search on the internet for ways to kill their mother. They spent a lot of time researching this topic. The two girls studied probably 10 times as hard as they ever had studied for any exam at school. Literally, hours and hours. So, according to the police investigation, the result of all this research was that the sisters decided to drown Linda Anderson because they believed it would be, quote, fast and spectacular, unquote. The police would later find on the search history of the computer that the sisters had looked at hundreds of web pages that had information about death through drowning. wondering, that amount of time is typically 4 minutes. So, after deciding upon a specific plan for how to successfully commit the murder, Sandra and Beth informed 3 of their friends, who all thought it was a great plan and encouraged the sisters, happily laughing at the idea of the girls killing their mother, Linda. So, with this cheerful conversation fresh in their mind, their next step was to put their plan into action, which they did on the following Saturday, January 13th, 2003, at around noon. Sandra and Elizabeth began playfully giving their mother glass after glass of vodka in order to get her inebriated. Their plan was to get Linda as drunk as possible, maybe the drunkest she had ever been, so that she could not fight back, no matter what the sisters did to her. They also dissolved several codeine pills into the alcohol to slow down their mother's heartbeat, which would make it even harder for their mother to resist. Sandra and Elizabeth then waited for the combination of alcohol and drugs to take full effect. While waiting, the sisters chatted with their friends online. One of these friends ended their conversation by saying, "Well, goodbye. Wear gloves." Gosh, listeners, these girls had some really hilarious friends, didn't they? LOL. Anyway, getting back to our story. The sisters walked their mother to the bathroom. They had a great deal of trouble getting her into the tub. It was a major struggle. Linda was slipping and falling and experiencing a great deal of clumsiness because of the large quantity of vodka she had consumed together with the codeine pills. But once they managed to get her in, Sandra and Beth both put latex gloves on and began to give their mother a relaxing massage. After a few minutes, Sandra told her mother to turn over and lay on her stomach, and she would wash her back. As soon as Linda turned her body, Sandra instantly pulled her mother's head down into the water and did not let go. She then held Linda's head under the water for 4 minutes. Sandra released her mother's head, and when Linda did not raise herself out of the water, it was then self-evident that she was dead. And now, after having successfully murdered their mother, Sandra and Beth went out with their friends to a nearby restaurant where they celebrated their achievement. The sisters waited a few hours until nighttime and then made a phone call to 911, in which their voices were frantic, screaming, and in a total panic. They informed the 911 operator that they had just walked into the bathroom and found their mother laying in the bathtub and that she wasn't breathing. The 911 operator told the girls to take their mother out of the bathtub and gave clear instructions on how to start CPR. He said that he was sorry that she had died in such a tragic accident. And then, for some weird, unknown reason, she joked that the death might not have been an accident. This strange comment made him feel suspicious and uneasy. So the next day, he called the police and told them everything that Sandra had said to him. And following this, a car was provided to the boy, rigged for audio and video by the police. Soon thereafter, he managed to find a way to get both girls in the car. And each of them were recorded describing how they had committed their mother's murder. Sandra and Beth were subsequently arrested, put on trial, and sentenced to 10 years in prison for first-degree murder, which was the maximum sentence for a juvenile of their age under Canadian law. The sisters were separated and were forbidden to communicate with each other while in jail. Sandra was released to a halfway house in 2009, while her younger sister, Beth, was released a year later. The girl's father unsuccessfully attempted to have Beth released earlier so she could complete her sentence under house arrest in their hometown. Now, here is something that I've delayed saying in order to avoid distraction from the chain of events. The real names of the people in this story are not Linda, Sandra, or Elizabeth Anderson. Since both Sandra and Beth were under the age of 18 at the time of the murder, their identities were, and continue to be, protected under Canadian law. In fact, their identities will forever be a secret. Sandra is pursuing a career in law. After her release, she was accepted to the University of Waterloo with a $2,000 scholarship. Beth traveled to Ottawa with the intention of going to college and seeking a career in engineering. There does not seem to be any additional information regarding either of the sisters. Or, I should say, nothing online. The story of the murder of Linda Anderson was featured on the television series Deadly Women in 2010 and was the subject of the book The Glass Project by Bob Mitchell. Additionally, a true crime drama film based on the murder called Perfect Sisters was released in 2014. And unfortunately, due to the fact that no other details seem to exist, we are now at the end of our story. So, listeners, you heard the story. And obviously, there is no mystery to solve. Thus, needless to say, I won't be asking you for your ideas about that. What a terrible death for Linda Anderson. Drowning is one of the most frightening, painful, awful ways for a human being to die. And under the laws of life in prison, including sometimes without any possibility of release, no matter what the circumstances. However, these long sentences for teens are currently under challenge in courts across the country on the grounds that it is unconstitutionally cruel punishment. Listeners, do you have any thoughts? If you do, you can email them to whispertruestories@gmail.com. But take care to type that as all one word. There are no hyphens, dashes, or underscores. On a future episode, I will share the thoughts and comments that have been sent regarding the stories that have been featured on the podcast so far. If you don't want your name used, or if you would like me to use an alias for you, just let me know. And listeners, if you have any suggestions for possible cases or topics, please feel free to email them to me. I really want to hear any ideas that you may have. Also, in addition to email, you can follow and comment on Twitter at the handle @WhisperDrew. Once again, one word, @WhisperedDrew. Finally, if you like the podcast, including the concept of the podcast, you can help out the show by going to iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts, and rate, review, and subscribe. Hopefully, there will be a new episode every 2 weeks. I am trying. I swear, I really am. Maybe I need to get a priest to bless my recording equipment or something. Finally, listeners, with all of that having been said, this episode has now reached the end. My name is Kit, and I will leave you now with this thought. Every truly clever crime is founded, ultimately, on some quite simple fact, and it is always some fact.